traveling to the ice with Chris Kunitz. Fed on the Kuznetsov to Ovechkin.
This is when you're all in. Look at the knuckles bleeding. Each guy taking some.
It came right down to game seven, and this one did not disappoint, especially if you are a Capitals fan. Guys, after 116 career playoff games, Alex Ovechkin will play in the Stanley Cup Final.
And they needed spectacular goaltending to climb back into it, and that's exactly what Braden Holtby gave them.
In the last 6-7 years, this is probably the most unlikely Capital team to pick to make the final.
I'm just happy for my boys, for organization, for fans finally, you know. I can't wait to come back home and play at home for Stanley Cup Final.
The Washington Capitals are the 2017-2018 Eastern Conference Champions.
On the year, the Rocket, Morris the Rocket Richard's name, comes off the Stanley Cup permanently, there is a chance that one of the best snipers in our generation may go on the Cup. Maybe that's just the destiny of this Washington Capitals team, but they're going to face a very good Las Vegas team.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's also a podcast about the Eastern Conference champions. That's right, the Washington Capitals are heading to the Stanley Cup Finals. They beat Tampa Bay and are ready to go gambling in Vegas up against the Golden Knights. Joining me, as always, Debbie Downer. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Why am I Debbie Downer?
Well, I text you last night, and I'm like, how great is this? This is so awesome. And you're like, I'll feel better when they win the cup.
That's not what I said.
I feel better when they get the cup.
You said, wait, hold on. I'm trying to find the actual text. you texted me at like 11 o'clock.
I was still going nuts, man.
I was, the game went long yesterday. You texted me Stanley Cup Finals. I said it was insane. You said, you're so happy. I said, I'll be if they win the whole thing.
So pretty much what I said.
No, because you're making it sound like I was like, whatever. Like, no, this is great. It's nice to have. Honestly, for a second last night, I was like, do I buy an Eastern Conference champion? Or what does it say? The shirts and the hats all say conference champions. Like, they're not being very specific.
Right. They say Eastern's real tiny.
Oh, is it? So clearly I didn't look that closely. I was like, oh, that could be kind of fun to have. And I was like, nah, I'll wait and see if they can win the whole thing first. Because at that point, you know, I want the big one.
Well,
unless it looks like crap, then I won't do it. No, I'll probably still do it.
Well, I did send you there's a hockey website that I follow that they do custom t-shirts and stuff. I sent you their design, and after I sent it to you, I did buy it.
Of course you did.
So it's bringhockeyback.net if anyone is interested out there. Give them a free plug. Actually, I paid for it.
You just want them to send you something for free.
Correct. Absolutely. That's why that is why I also tried to get us booked to do a live podcast on a bus, but I haven't heard it back from them either.
So. Oh, right. I saw that and I was like, what is Brandon trying to get me to do?
Live podcast on a bus. It's not to understand. All right. Well,
because that's normal.
So if you missed it last week, we went live on Facebook to talk about Tampa Bay and the Washington Capitals. Unfortunately, last week, Coach Dan and my schedules just didn't match up. But luckily, we're not talking about the final podcast of the year. We still got a couple more weeks of hockey left, and the Capitals beat Tampa Bay. Let me ask you, Coach Dan,
Caps went up 2-0 in the series, came back, lost two, and lost another one. What did you think about the play against Tampa Bay? I mean, Saturday's game against them was pretty atrocious. I mean, the Tampa to come out at the very beginning, get a goal, and then another goal in the second. It seemed like the Caps had given up. But here we are talking about the Caps going up to the Stanley Cup Finals. So it's kind of been a roller coaster ride of a postseason. What's been your the way you've looked at these games the last week?
Well, I think it's been a bit. It's like a smaller representation of what the season has kind of been, where they've had parts where they've been dominant, like they were in Game 6 and 7. And they've had times where they look like the team in Games 3, 4, and 5, where you're like, what the hell's going on? So, and though, even in some of those games, though, they played very well. They just couldn't score.
Yeah.
And then they found a way just not only score, but completely shut out Tampa. I mean, if you look at it, the Lightning didn't score. I can't remember if I brought this up or if I heard it or read it somewhere, but they didn't score. Their last goal was 33 seconds into the second period of Game 5.
Yeah, that's insane.
And it's, so they're looking at seven, almost eight periods that Tampa did not score in a row, which is insane to be able to stop a high-flying offense like that, who were getting a couple of power play opportunities, not a ton, but they were getting their chances and they couldn't capitalize on it. And so to be able to go home and get that win and then go into Tampa, Ovechkin scores, what, like a minute and two into the game. And from there on out, Tampa had plenty of opportunities. They probably could have scored one or two, but didn't. And the Capitals took advantage. And you look at this team now and you're going, you know, almost anything is possible at this point. But they're going up against a Vegas team that in these playoffs haven't lost enough games to actually lose a round. Like, they've lost, and my wife brought this up, they've only lost three games the entire playoffs. Now, that isn't to say that the Caps can't beat them, but they're flying high right now. They have a veteran, well-tested goaltender who's won cups himself in Marc-Andre Fleury. So this is going to be their biggest test so far. You look at, they went up against Columbus and had an early test. Now, Columbus is a good team, but they weren't exactly going to go all the way. No offense to them. They're just not quite there yet. But they are a very good team with an outstanding goaltender in Sergei Bobrovsky. The Caps went down 2-0 and decided to wake up and go on and win that thing. Then they went up against the defending champions and the Penguins and were able to beat them in six. And they went up against the second year in a row, repeating, and I think it was what, like 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5 years in a row, or not in a row, but 3 out of the last 5 years. The Tampa's been in the Eastern Conference Finals,
mm-hmm.
And they struggled. And
they were the highest scoring team, weren't they, this year?
I'm going to neither confirm nor deny because I don't know. I think that's right. I feel like I heard that somewhere, but I'm not entirely sure. But they went up against a very good Tampa Bay team and absolutely shut them out in those last two games. Now, that doesn't say that – I mean, they literally shut them out because they didn't score any goals. But they had their opportunities, and the Caps did a great job of closing down the lane, shutting down the center of the ice, not letting them get too close to Holtby. And it worked out beautifully. I think this is going to be a very interesting series to watch. And I'm very annoyed that I'm going to miss game. I'm likely going to miss game three because I'll be in New York.
Game three, I'll be working. So I'm going to also be missing that one.
You're in the same, like, well, no, time zone's the same.
Well, New York's a big
100-mile. Yeah, but I'll be at dinner with family and, like, who knows.
Yeah. But, all right, so let me ask you. So far in the east side of the Stanley Cup playoffs, who's been the MVP on this team? Because, I mean, it has to be Ovechkin, is it not? Because, like, he's the captain. He's leading by example. He's rallying the troops. Everything he has said the Caps are going to do, they've done. He's doing a great job. He finally looks like a captain of a team. But at the same time, I say that, Brayden Holtby has been fantastic. Tom Wilson has come into his own and really shown that he's not just a fighter, that he actually – there's a huge part of his game that affects the entire team. He definitely is one that can lead by example and show how much heart somebody has. And then you got guys like Kuznetsov and Andrei Burakovsky who have had up and down series in this game, in this playoff series, but still are coming out and being – the type of players we need them to be when they need to be them. But back to my question, like, it has to be Ovi. Ovi's got to be the MVP so far this year, right?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I think it's the easy one to say because he is the leader. He's the captain. He's sort of the focal point, and he's, you know, scored some big goals throughout the last three rounds. But he's, you look at a guy like, I mean, you were saying Ovechkin, I was like, well, what about Braden Holtby? But then you go and you keep looking at guys, and you look at Kuznetsov, he's got two more points overall. He's got one less goal than Ovechkin, but three more assists. I think Kuznetsov certainly should be in the conversation. I think Carlson is worth talking about in terms of his play. He has certainly stepped up his game, which is going to cost them in the offseason. You look at someone like TJ Oshie, who started to step up after a bit of a slow start to the playoffs. And then you go and you look at a guy, and it's going to be surprising to hear this from me. And I don't think he should be considered the MVP of this team right now, but the way he's played. But you look at a guy like Brooks Orpik.
Having an amazing postseason.
He started off a little slow. He's had some hit or miss moments, but not very many. But for every negative thing that I've said about Orpik over the last, I feel like, 3 years, he stepped it up. And this is exactly the reason that Brian McClellan brought him in. Because he was a veteran guy. He's been there. I mean, you look at last night when Ovechkin picks up the trophy and you're put it down.
That was so funny.
Some people are like, don't worry about it. But at one point he's carrying it over. And I couldn't tell what he said, but people on Twitter were saying that he went over towards Orpik and Orpik was like, no, put it back.
Well, like, because Orpik's been here before. He knows what the drill is. He knows you got to take a team picture.
But he's like, don't effing touch it.
Put it back. You just got to put it back.
Now, I think I was reading the Penguins that picked it up and stuff like that. And Vegas, I believe, picked it up. So if there's a curse, like, they're both screwed?
Right.
So, and I don't know how that would work because that's confusing. So.
But, I mean, for the Caps to beat all the curses that like John Walton said, the demons have been exorcised. Like, you know, Debbie Downer, stop it.
I'm trying to live in reality, man. Like,
but,
it's not.
But look at,
like,
what they've done.
I was talking to someone at work today, and they were like, they won it. And I was like, not yet. We got four more, okay? You got 12 down, four to go.
But, like, look, they've gotten out of the second round. They've gotten to beat up the Penguins.
Which is just the dumbest thing to be like, we got out of the second round. You're like, like, real good teams. Like, cause, you know, teams with a real story should be able to do that more than, what, once, twice?
Right. But so. So talking about the MVP, though, like, you brought up Brooks Orpik. I agree with you. He's done an absolute phenomenal job this postseason.
Agreed.
But that's what makes a good Stanley Cup team, and that's why you go far when all the guys that are supposed to be putting points or goals or whatever up on the board, if you're doing your job correctly – you know, that's how you get to the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, before it was just Ovechkin scoring or whatever, and the third and fourth line weren't showing up. Third and fourth line have been dominant the last couple games or just this whole playoff series. I mean, Brett Connolly stepping up, Jay Beagle stepping up. Look at what it was like to not have Jay Beagle up against Columbus at the beginning. You look at Devontae Smith-Pelly, who went from a guy in training camp who you didn't know if he would make the team to being one of the most important bottom sixers you have.
How many times did he get hurt last night? Like, that dude had a target on his back. I felt like every time someone took a shot, it would have been like ricocheted off like five guys and somehow hit Smith-Pelly.
That one shot towards,
like,
the back of his
head,
man.
He'd be on the bench, and it would that was bad. It would, like, he'd be on the bench and somehow someone would take a shot and it would, like, ricochet off like four things and then somehow hit him.
Yeah, the shot.
Like, he had a magnet.
Yeah, he did. The shot to the back of his, like, his shoulder to his neck and the back of his head. I got scared for a little bit there because I'm like, you don't want to mess with the bones in your neck. Yeah, that looked rough. But luckily he was able to get up. He was able he did finish the game, right? He went out for a little bit. He came back, though, right?
I feel like they kind of held him out towards the end, but I could be wrong.
I know Brooks Orpik came back. He absorbed a pretty big hit. That didn't look like
Orpik might be – well, because he went face first into the glass.
Yeah, that didn't look like a concussion to me. It looks like he kind of got the wind knocked out of him, maybe, like, bruised a rib or something like that.
I tweeted it out afterwards, but when he was skating off the ice after he got rocked, I couldn't tell if he was pissed or had no idea where he was. It was kind of like – you could see how, like, that look in a person can kind of be the same. Where you're, like, really angry, but then also you just could be angry because you're like, where the hell am I?
I'm so angry, but I don't know why.
I'm just – what? Who are you people? I hope Orpik or anybody that potentially gets a concussion is okay, because that's always a scary thing to have happen. But you know, when he went down, I was like, oh, crap. Because they, as much as I crap on the dude, they can't afford to lose him right now.
No, not at all. Let's talk a little bit about Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson comes out. He defends his line mate, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, who was forced to strip on the ice.
I honestly, like, so part of my game plan while watching these games is to, like, not distract myself, but, like, have other things going on to control the emotions.
Oh, 100%. Yes, me too. Same thing.
So, like, I'm, you know, I'm tweeting and stuff, and, like, I'm playing games on my phone that, like, I not, like, an intense game, but, like, a game I can look up from. So, like, I like playing SimCity Builder or whatever it's called. So I'll play that, and, like, I'll look up to the game, and, like, I'll glance up back to my phone, and then I'll go back to watching the game, and, like, not a big deal, right? But there were times last night where I was just, like, you get very intense. So, like, I need other things to do. These games, I don't know. Last night, I spent the whole game just trying to be, like, I had to wait until there's like, 4 minutes left in the game, and then I was, like, getting excited, like, holy crap, this is actually happening right now. Like, Ovechkin scored, and I had a moment of excitement, and then I was like, all right, got to calm myself down, got to keep it controlled, because anything can happen. It's DC Sports. We know how this stuff goes. Like, I'm going to wait. And then Burakovsky scored, which a nice goal, by the way. Time for that kid. You know, it was perfect time for him to step up. And then I was like, oh, all right, cool. Still plenty of time for Tampa to come back. They had, you know, like, Tampa was killing us. It's funny. My wife was saying, she's the loud one. I need to keep calming her down during games. The other team will have it in our own end, and she'll start screaming, get it out! And I'm like, woman, I'm right here. You need to stop yelling at her. So I'm sitting there watching, and then they're dominating, Tampa is, in terms of puck possession. And I'm like freaking, I'm like, oh my God, they're scoring. It's not going well. What the hell are they doing? The Caps are doing terrible. Get the freaking puck out. But I'm doing that internally while playing SimCity. But then Burakovsky scored, and I was like, huh, this is exactly what happens to the Caps. Like, they dominate. Like, you look at game, I want to say it was game 4, where the Caps were dominating at times and just couldn't score. Or maybe it was game 5, where they were dominant. That was game 5, where they're, I can't remember. Either way, they were dominating and couldn't score, and that was what was happening to Tampa. Then Burakovsky got a second one, and they were up 3-0, and I was like, I think this might actually happen. But I had to control myself until about 5 minutes left to go in the game, and that's when I was like, this is actually happening. Like, they're actually going to go and have a chance to play for Lord Stanley's Cup.
I was getting messages on Facebook with, like, 4 minutes left going, congratulations! They did it. And I'm like, no.
And you're like, shut up.
No, they did not. There's 4 minutes left.
Tampa's very good and could score that many times. Don't do that.
But let's talk a little bit about the Tom Wilson goal. Or not goal, the Tom Wilson fight.
I was like, he scored?
All right. Let's talk a little bit.
Yeah, I must have paid really good attention to SimCity. Yeah, the whole thing with him and Kuznetsov. Like, I honestly missed it. When the jersey got pulled off, I didn't catch it till later. And friend of mine and friend of the show, and she's been on a couple times, like, Amanda, she texted me and she goes, Wilson was pissed. And I was like, yeah. But I didn't know why. I mean, aside from he's Wilson and, like, someone breathed on him heavily, so he decided to go after him. But then they fought when they got right out of the box. And then they showed it later, and I was like, yeah, that would piss me off. Because, like, that was totally unnecessary to pull his jersey off. Like, I get you're trying to get in a dude's head, but that's just weird.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. But the whole thing, like, what I want to say is, like, Tom Wilson, when he's, like, getting forced to skate away from a player by one of the refs, he's usually, like, laughing at the other player.
He was not laughing
this time around. Like, there was full on, like, I'm going to take my skate off and stab a dude kind of rage.
He was so bad.
So they had him sit, and then he comes out and just what Jim Ross would call a slobber knocker happened on the ice. Just some haymakers coming down. I mean, full on.
Braden Coburn?
Yes, yeah.
I don't think he's going to be getting a Christmas card.
Right. But, like, Tom Wilson, full-on UFC fighter, coming out just swinging for the fences with his fists. But I think it was the right move to do that because it felt as if Tampa Bay was trying to use this as a way to get back into the game. But there's a lot of people on Twitter that were kind of angry with Tom Wilson for taking that fight because he is a top line winger and Coburn is like a third line defensive player. So what is your take on it? Was it smart for him to take the fight? Or is it game 7, everything's on the line, go big or go home, stay on the ice for 7 minutes instead of sitting?
Well, the other question is Wilson trying to kind of get the Caps riled up and get them to wake up a bit? And you also need to know, you know, you send a message to teams that you can't do that to our guys. You're not going to go and cause them to do a striptease in the game. It's inappropriate. And so, I you know, there is the thought that, like, when Wilson went out, you're like, great, there goes our first line right winger for 5 minutes. That's a problem. But there's also the counter argument of you can't let teams take advantage of your players and your star players like that, where they think they can go and just abuse them. And there isn't going to be any sort of retribution or repercussions for it. So, yeah, I had an issue with Wilson doing that to some extent, but I also applaud him for sticking up for a teammate, because there have been times in the past where things have happened and you're like, can someone grow a pair and tell the other team that, like, that's not okay?
Yeah. If anything, I feel as if Tom Wilson didn't take that fight and didn't swing for the fences and didn't win, we might not be talking about what we're talking about right now, because yes, Tom Wilson is important. He's kind of showing he's more than just a goon. Absolutely. He has. But when he's taken up for his teammates, you know, they're going to take up for him as well. They know this is the loyal guy that you want on the ice with you, and you want to take him to the Stanley Cup Finals and be your backup and be your muscle. So, I mean, if he didn't take that fight, I kind of think the Caps would be like, oh, does this guy not have my back? Is this guy not who we thought he was? I mean, I don't know.
Is he not my boy?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were boys. Come on. But Tom Wilson, God, just, I mean, he's a restricted free agent. We'll be talking about that in July. But, man, like, without Tom Wilson, that Ovechkin goal doesn't happen. He started it with a big hit and then was, you know, they were able to pass it to Ovechkin and Ovechkin got the goal. But it all started with a Tom Wilson hit. He's, you know, he's.
He likes to do that.
I don't know. Do you want to call him the foundation of the team? But he's. He's a huge part of this team right now.
He's not the foundation. I think, like, that's Holtby, that's Ovechkin, that's Backstrom, and that's Carlson if they can re-sign him. Wilson's kind of like,
let's use a car analogy. What is he in the car? Is he the steering wheel?
No. That's
the shifter.
Very much like,
he's no, the Backstrom. Shifter.
No, Wilson's the airbag where if you get in trouble, he comes out to save you. Wilson's the horn. Where if you're not doing what you need to do, he'll let you know. You know, he's a tough guy that goes out there and he doesn't let other teams take advantage of you, and that's fine by me.
Oh man! All right. Well,
that got a little weird. if we're using the home example, I think you started with. He is the, like, alarm system that you've installed, where if you try and do anything to the house, he's coming in. He's, you know, making really loud, annoying sounds or calling the cops, I guess. This kind of got away from me a little bit, but the point still stands.
I just thought, you know, that's another sponsorship we can get for this show. Alarm systems for your home. Be like the Tom Wilson of alarm systems.
Not with the way I described it. Maybe get him a hookup with some company.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the celebration afterwards and what happened. So Alex Ovechkin, I got to tell you, I don't think he's doing it on purpose, but him just walking around with the Prince of Wales trophy was cracking me up all night and all day today. The fact that he took it on the plane with him and was just holding it like a piece of luggage, the fact that he got off the plane and took it home and is using it on his kitchen table as the centerpiece is friggin' hilarious.
I swear to God, if he jinxes this team, trade him.
But this is a long time coming for Ovi. Everybody knows it, but Ovi's just kind of like, this is mine. I'm keeping it. I've waited a long time for this. I'm going to spend all the time I can with it.
I wonder if the other guys are like, hey.
I'd like to take it home and show my wife what we won.
Can we play two?
And then Ovi's that guy who's like, you know what? You can come to my house and see the trophy.
I feel like the way you said that makes it sound like he's like a little kid where, like, Backstrom comes to the door and knocks. He's like, can Ovi come out and play? Gotta play street hockey.
That's what it felt like, though. Ovi felt like a big kid last night. The way he was celebrating with Wilson and Burakovsky on the bench, when he was celebrating on the ice. I mean, that's the thing that everybody loved about Ovi at the beginning, before, you know, he lost a few playoffs. But everybody was like, he celebrates like he's a kid. He's happy to be out there on the ice. It felt like Ovi of old last night. He was like a kid out there. He was having a good time. You know, it's like this giant weight has been lifted off of his shoulders right now. It's fantastic to see.
I agree. Yeah, there is a bit of a weight that's off the shoulders. And I have to imagine there's another one coming on starting on Monday where he's elevated his game. He's elevated his story in terms of his career in the NHL. And I think this is an opportunity for him to really cement himself at, not that he hasn't already, but as one of the greatest players to ever play in the game. I think he's leading this team, like you said earlier, by example. And these guys are sort of rallying around him a bit. And it's just kind of like, you just kind of like this team. Like, remember when they did the rebuild and they really started to get good and the players all really got along and like and Green would like have breakfast together at their apartments and then try to get decapitated by the door at what was then Verizon Center. But then you watch like their post-game interview and Ovechkin's just like, he's very emotional. He doesn't know the words. And I don't know if it's an emotional thing or he's just like, because of the emotions, he's struggling to think of the word in English. But he's just struggling to get through it. And he basically called himself out and he's like, sorry, I'm just really emotional right now. Like, I'm not sure what to say. And Holtby's sitting next to him and Holtby just goes something along the lines of, you're doing great, babe. And just the way he said that, I don't know if you caught that, but it was really funny.
I think everybody has caught that at this point because Russian Machine Never Breaks made a friggin' t-shirt out of that.
Oh, did they? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they did.
So apparently when they came out for the press conference, Ovechkin pulled out Holtby's chair for him. That was tweeted out by Isabel Krashutin of the Washington Post, and I thought that was really funny too. It's nice to see that like these guys get along and they like each other. It's not just like a business kind of thing or that's just their job, but they actually really enjoy spending time together. And, you know, I just think this team right now is doing incredibly well. And it'll be we're getting ahead of ourselves. It'll be interesting to see what the team looks like next season, knowing the salary cap ramifications and then the players need to sign. But, you know, I think right now they're certainly on a fantastic track. And, we'll see how things go starting Monday. But their celebrations are definitely well-earned. You know, I think the trophy thing may be a bit of an old-fashioned kind of thing. It doesn't help that Dale Hunter lifted it back in 98 and the Caps got swept by Detroit.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about trophies and the ultimate prize, Lord Stanley's Cup. I found it interesting. My buddy Phil sent me a YouTube clip, and I want to say it was from hockey.
Is that our buddy Phil?
Our buddy Phil. Fine.
And I talked to Phil. I think the last time I saw Phil, it's a great story. Last time I saw Phil was at what was then the Verizon Center in the men's room. So I was coming out of a stall. I went to shake his hand. And I was like, you know what? Give me a minute. I'm going to wash my hands.
But here's the thing. So Phil sent me a link, and we were talking about the Stanley Cup, and it's kind of interesting. So you know how they have to take names off the cup? You know, they have to take, like, certain rings off the cup?
Yeah, you eventually run out of space.
Right. Well, this would be the first year without Rocket Richard on the cup. And with Alex Ovechkin, who is so synonymous with winning the Rocket Richard trophy.
I see where you're going with this.
It's kind of interesting that Rocket Richard is no longer on the cup, and then you have a guy who is synonymous with that award vying for that cup later in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I mean, it would be, you know, perfect timing for something along those lines.
I agree with that.
It's kind of silly, but it was definitely the timing would be rather perfect, but the Caps are going to have to do an awful lot to make that happen.
And let's segue right to that. So the Capitals are up against the Vegas Golden Knights for the Stanley Cup Finals. Vegas, who is managed by George McPhee, who is the former general manager of the Washington Capitals, and also have former Capitals Nate Schmidt and Cody Eakin on that team as well. Like you said, you had a couple stats about them. The fact that they've only played, 14, 15 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, haven't even lost enough to win or lose a series. Let's talk a little bit. The Caps, I mean, this is crazy to say, but the Caps and Vegas Golden Knights have zero history. They've only played twice because Vegas has not even been around for a year.
They kind of existed. I think at this point, did we know they were going to be a team at this point?
Yeah, they had a name and they had a terrible.
They had a terrible
ceremony announcing the name because nothing worked because they cheaped out on video
equipment. All of their ceremonies since, I feel like, have been well done.
Amazing. I don't know what they're going to do for the little pre-show.
Vegas, so you know they went over to, like, the Bellagio or something. They were like, hey, can we borrow your guy?
Which, by the way, did you know...
The guy does all your shows. Can we borrow him?
Did you know that the Caps' home base in Vegas is the friggin' Bellagio?
All right, I'm going to say no, I didn't know that. So my joke works out even better.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean,
I didn't say it was a good joke, but it just worked out.
So, what was it in Las Vegas? What was that fake hotel called?
The Montecito. That was a great show.
I kind of want to rewatch.
I watched it last summer. I own seasons 1 through 4. 5 was
right where Tom Selleck showed up.
Yeah,
that's where it got weird.
No, it didn't get weird. It was just like James Caan didn't want to be on the show anymore. He wanted to go back into making features. And
he made Elf.
It was fine. The problem was, like, it ended on this ridiculous cliffhanger, and you're like, what's going to happen? And then the writer's strike came, and they were like, goodbye. So that sucked. But aside from that, it was a great show.
Yeah. So the Vegas Golden Knights, the Capitals, the only history they have is two games this year. One was on December 23rd and one was on Super Bowl Sunday, and both were losses for the Capitals. And then we have that pesky goalie who the Caps just can't seem to get rid of, Marc-Andre Fleury, staring him down again.
Yeah, can he F off? Like, leave us alone.
So, Coach Dan, let's talk a little bit about this series. What are you expecting from the Vegas Golden Knights?
I'm expecting Fleury to piss me off at some point.
The two things I'm expecting from them are some great goaltending and some speed, man. They are so friggin' fast in Vegas. So, what are you expecting this series to look like?
I mean, they're two, in regards to the words that you just used, they're two somewhat similar teams in that they both have some speed. Vegas maybe a little bit more so, and they both have very good goaltending. But if you look at the way the Caps have been playing, they have a good opportunity to really do something here. If they can play the way they did in Game 6 and Game 7, if they can play the way they did in Game 6 against the Penguins, then they have a really good shot here. I think the defense is going to have to step up and get used to the fact that these guys are really fast that are going to be coming at them and find a way to shut that down by just, you know, whether you're going to plug up the middle and not really let them use their speed to their advantage. We'll see. I mean, the Caps have, you know, some young guys on defense in terms of Juice Carlson. These aren't exactly slow guys. So I think Orpik may struggle a little bit, but if the Caps can slow him down, maybe mix it up, but sort of plug it up in the neutral zone and sort of negate their speed a little bit, then Orpik has an easier opportunity to just, you know, lay somebody out or keep the crease clear. So we'll see how they do. You know, they got to make sure they stay out of the box like they did these last two games. They finally realized that Tampa's pretty good on the power play. So maybe we should just give them less of those opportunities.
What's going to happen when Tom Wilson just lays out Nate Schmidt?
Schmidt's going to get up and be like, hey, man.
I just got hit by a train.
What are you doing, man? We were friends. What a jerk. You know, part of me wonders if Schmidt's a little, I don't know, like annoyed. Because, like, I feel like all these guys have a chip on their shoulder unless they were acquired at the deadline or throughout the season. They have a bit of a chip on their shoulder because they weren't wanted by their other teams. You know, that's not fair. They were wanted, but they were like, you're not someone that we are necessarily wanting to keep at this point. We find these certain number of other guys we feel are more important than you. And if you're Nate Schmidt, you're like, well, screw you. I'm going to show you how wrong you are. And now I have a chance to do it on the biggest stage in the season.
You know, that is brilliant, Coach. It really is.
I get one a season.
Because, before you said how I brought up the goaltending and how fast they are, how these teams are very much alike. I got to say, now that you bring it up, the Vegas Golden Knights and the Caps mindset also are very similar because both view themselves as underdogs. Like you said, it's, Vegas is kind of Vegas is kind of like the Island of Misfit Toys. It's a bunch of players that weren't protected. They do have a chip on their shoulder, as in you let me go. Like, look what I'm going to do now. I was worth saving and you didn't. You're stupid. And then you have,
I'm going to get you now.
And then you have the Capitals who were coming in going, everyone said we weren't good enough. No one had faith in us this year. On paper, this team is not a playoff team. But we're going to prove to everybody that we are worth it, that Ovechkin can win a cup, that that this player is great, that Holpe's great. Holpe didn't even start the playoffs as the starting goaltender, and he blanked the highest-scoring team two games in a row, game 6 and 7. Both of these teams are underdogs. So, and they view themselves as that, and it has worked. That mindset has worked and gotten these teams this far, so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So let me ask you this. Who actually is the underdog?
It depends. If you look at it statistically, in terms of wins, I talked about before how Vegas hasn't lost enough games to actually lose a series at this point. So in that regard, you're looking at the Caps being Vegas maybe being the favorites, the Caps being the underdog. But then you look at the point totals from a player's perspective. You got Kuznetsov with 24, Ovechkin with 22. Backstrom's got 16, but he missed a couple of games. Carlson's got 16. Oshie's got 15. Eller's got 13. Wilson's got 11. Then you look at Vegas. They've got I don't even know how to say his name because there's so many letters. Marchessault's got 18. Riley Smith has 16. William Karlsson's got 13, but then they have guys that are under 10 in terms of total points. So it's interesting in terms of, that way you might look at it and go, well, the Caps are the favorite because they look at least like they score more goals. But then Vegas has certainly got an amazing goaltender in Marc-Andre Fleury, his GAA in the playoffs right now is 1.68. Save percentage is .947. I mean, that's absurd.
Insane.
Holpe's got a GAA of 2.04 and a save percentage of 0.924. But then you look at the teams that the Caps have been playing. They played the best team in the regular season, goal scoring wise, in Tampa. They played the defending champions in Pittsburgh, and they played some guys from Columbus. But then you look at who Vegas has played. They've also played some very good teams in San Jose, but are they as good as the teams that and in the LA Kings? Are as good as the teams that the Caps are playing. So it's kind of an interesting situation to see which one. I don't know if you really can say either team is an underdog. I think there's two very good teams who are playing their best hockey at the right time.
What about the fact, like we brought up, Vegas has only been a team for 11 months. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage for the Capitals? Because obviously the Vegas Golden Knights are playing really well, but is it because no other team has, a lot of videotape to watch of this team? Is it because it's such a small sample size? Is it an advantage or disadvantage that this is a brand new team, first year in the league, and they're already at the Stanley Cup Finals? Does that bode well, or does it not bode well for the Capitals?
I don't think it makes a difference. I think the Cup Finals are the Cup Finals, and whether it's your first time as a new team or first time as an old team or first time for a lot of these players, I think is irrelevant. I think the butterflies are going to be there. I think the first 5 to 10 minutes of game one is going to be interesting. I think Vegas is going to make some stupid big show at the beginning of game one, and they're going to take down the Eagle or something, or they're going to attack the Capitol.
Is that who they're going to have be dressed up? Cause like they had a king come out.
I'm sure they'll have some guy in an eagle costume that will come out, and then he'll get slayed, and everyone's going to be like, how could you attack the bird of the country? I can't think of words right now. And then it'll turn into a political thing. But, I think that this, Vegas will make a big deal out of it. I think the Caps are not going to care. I think the first 10 minutes you see a lot of butterflies from teams and from both teams, and then I think they're just going to settle in, and we're going to have a really good series, hopefully, where both teams just leave it all on the ice. Or if Vegas doesn't want to and they want to play poorly, that's fine with me too.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah,
I am all. You know what? I will defend you if you decide to do that, Vegas.
So Marc-Andre Fleury seems to be the final hump for this team to get over. I mean, they've gotten through the second round. They've beaten the Penguins. They're finally at the Stanley Cup Finals. But Marc-Andre Fleury seemed to always have their number in the postseason. So what do the Capitals have to do to prepare for this guy that they know so well?
I think the biggest thing is just look at the tape this past season. You watch tape on him, not only him, but you watch tape on the defense and see how they collapse and help him out. And you find ways to exploit or get around what they're doing. You do the same thing with every team. I think the fact that they have history with Fleury is would only affect them mentally. I don't think it affects them physically in that way.
Do you think the Penguins kind of have seller's remorse right now?
No, I don't think if they had Fleury, they necessarily get out of that round. I don't think Murray was although he couldn't save anything close that high. But I don't think that's necessarily the reason why they lost. And the Penguins had some other issues going on. I still think they have more players injured than they're willing to let on.
What else should we cover here for this series?
When the games are, probably wouldn't be the worst idea.
We do at the end of the show.
You know what I find interesting? And I'm not a huge fan of the statistic of the plus minus.
Yeah.
Orpik is leading the team in plus 15 right now. The next guy closest is John Carlson with a plus 9. Devontae Smith-Pelly is a minus 1.
Really?
It's got 4 goals, which is pretty good. But, I didn't expect that.
What kind of fanfare do you think the town of D.C. will be sending these guys off on Saturday night, Sunday morning? Like, when the Ravens went to New Orleans for the Super Bowl 5 years ago.
Because the Caps PR came out last night and were saying they didn't want fans at the airport.
Even though there were some fans who were there. I got a special permission for that. But like when the Ravens left for New Orleans for the Super Bowl, they had a bunch of like the fire trucks that are at the airport, you know, just spraying water into the air as the plane took off. Do you think DC is going to do anything like that at Dulles for the Caps?
No, I don't know if it's necessary just because it's not one game that they're going to play on the biggest stage. There's at least 4 that they're going to be playing. So you know they're coming back to play at home, so I don't know if you necessarily have to do this that much.
Do you think this is going to be a quick series, or do you think it has the potential to go to all game 7, all the way to game 7?
Nope.
You're not going to say it? You're not even going to say that?
Nope.
Debbie Downer.
That's not Debbie Downer. That's me doing what I need to do.
Well, I mean, I am absolutely ecstatic the fact that we can talk about Caps hockey into June. This has been a history making postseason. Like I said last episode, Coach Dan and I have covered this team during lockouts, during World's Championships, during KHL hockey. We've covered everything, regular season disappointments, but we have never gone this long into the year doing podcasts. So this is actually,
yeah, we've already wrapped it up.
We've wrapped it up. We've given out our what the puckies. We've talked into Ryan Drury by this point already. And, man, you know, Ryan, I hope Ryan listens to the whole show when we do these because we give him shout-outs a lot. But
they're not always nice ones,
though. The fact that he didn't tweet during the last game I thought was just so funny because dude loves his hockey. There's no doubt that he absolutely loves his hockey, and he gets emotional on Twitter, and he you know, yells and screams just like every other hockey fan out there. But the fact that my Twitter was like pretty calm last night, it kind of felt out of place that he wasn't there.
I was kind of wondering why there was less anger.
It's just like, where is he? I hope he's okay. I hope he didn't get, like, hit by a moose.
I'm sure he's fine.
All right, what else do we have to talk about to prepare for Vegas? Obviously, like, the Caps need to continue what they're doing. Oh, I got a question for you.
Okay. I make no promises that I'll answer.
The big question for me heading into Game 7 was who was going to play, Andrei Burakovsky or Alex Chason? Because it seemed to be those guys were flip-flopping as Barry Trotz was benching Andrei Burakovsky in Game 5 and putting Chason in. Chason was one of the heroes in the Penguin series. Now Andrei Burakovsky was one of the heroes of the Tampa Bay series. So do we see Chason again?
I think it depends on how Burakovsky plays. I think Burakovsky – I mean, there was a one point where I think Chason had come back in, and I was like, well – Burakovsky? What's his name? Burakovsky, maybe he's a guy you look at moving in the offseason. If at this point, you know, he's got a high cap hit. He's only 23, but his cap hit's only going to go up. He's got one more year left on his deal. Do you look to move him because you're just not confident that he's going to turn out to be the kind of player that you want him to be, considering what the cap hit's likely going to be? But he stepped it up last game, and I think he's earned a jersey for at least the first game, and we'll see how he does.
All right. I mean, I don't think you bring in Chason and bench a guy like Verana either, because you're going to need those wheels up against Vegas.
Verana's staying in. I don't imagine he's going to be benched anytime soon. I mean, he's got 6 points in 18 games. Ideally, you want those numbers to be higher, but it is his first season, and you know, it can be a bit hard to deal with. But I don't anticipate him getting out of the lineup anytime soon.
Well, I can't wait. I cannot wait for this game. I can't wait for Memorial Day. I can't wait. I can't wait to see this series start. So, anything else we should cover in Caps world before we move on? I mean, God, I can't believe it. Stanley Cup Finals, finally.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts, because it's going to be over in the next 2 weeks.
We have, if it goes to Game 7, we have until June 13th.
Yes, which I have staff training that night until 8:30.
Oh,
so I will miss the beginning of, if it goes to Game 7.
Are you feeling like you're going to get sick that day?
I don't think I'm allowed to.
Because let me tell you, I figure my bosses don't listen to this. I plan on being sick if there's a parade in D.C., just so you know.
See, I don't know. Well, never mind. I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to jinx it. Nope, 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 nope. Anywho,
yeah.
Anything else to talk about Caps World? I mean, probably. We're probably forgetting something. I wouldn't mind if they sell, like, little miniature, whether they win the cup or not, little miniature
Prince of Wales
trophy. Yeah. Prince of Wales trophy. I think that'd be kind of fun to have.
I would enjoy that.
Dude, I'm calling it right now. First game next season, the giveaway is going to be a little mini banner, or it should be. It'll probably be a little magnet that is a banner that going up the rafters. But you know, I think that would be kind of a fun giveaway, but actually like a little flag banner, not a freaking magnet.
Yeah, I would like to have a Prince of Wales trophy. That trophy, you know, I got to say, in between the two trophies for the two conferences, the East 100% wins, because that is a slick-looking trophy. The one for the West, the bowl, kind of looks like the Calder Cup a little bit.
You know what? They're fine trophies. I don't know. I take either one.
It looks great on Ovi's kitchen table as the centerpiece. So
that's true. It does look rather nice on there.
Yeah, you know, it really pulls the room together.
I would agree.
All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. We are going to go around the NHL. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are going around the NHL to talk about something not cap related, even though the Caps are still in the Stanley Cup final.
It could be salary cap related.
Ooh.
See what I did there?
All right, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
We got two quick bits of news. As a bit of a goofball and potentially an idiot, Evander Kane has signed a 7-year, reportedly $7 million per year deal with the San Jose Sharks. He was traded to the Sharks back at or near the trade deadline on February 26th from the Buffalo Sabres. He's a big dumb head sometimes, but he's getting a lot of money to be a dumb head. And so he actually played quite well with the Sharks. Seems like he fit in quite well with these guys. So congratulations to him on his new big deal.
How do I get a dumb head contract?
You start playing hockey probably when you're a kid.
Darn it.
That would be my guess. In other bits of news, New York Rangers have a new head coach as they have hired David Quinn to lead their team. He last coached Boston University. He was there for the past five seasons going 105, 67, and 21 and led them to the NCAA championship game in 2015. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the Stanley Cup final conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related things and trying to distract myself during the actual games. I'm also on there talking about Unai Emery and Arsenal, with him being the new head coach and the new direction they're taking, and hopefully them signing some new players pretty soon, because the defense certainly could use a help. Goodbye, Mustafi. But we'll see how that goes. You can also find all sorts of other fun things on the Twitter sphere. But hey, if you like the show and you like Brandon and I rambling, go ahead and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, when Brandon and I are going to be talking. Brandon puts out videos, I believe, of himself celebrating after the Capitals have won a game, and every picture related to the Washington Capitals that he can find on the internet.
I do that.
That's at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people wanted to find out, where could they see where else you post every picture that you can find imaginable on the internets? Where would they go?
You can go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need. Coach Dan has never been to that website.
That's not true. I have it saved as one of my bookmarks. I think. Wait, do I? Yeah, I do. It's right there. Okay, cool.
So go to brandocash.com and get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. And like Coach Dan said, go to Facebook. Facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Last week, like I said, we could not put out a podcast because our schedules really didn't match up last week. However, before, what was it, game 4 or 5, we did Facebook Live, and we pretty much put on an entire show on Facebook Live just without some of the cool music or the editing. So you never know when we're going to be on Facebook Live. You know, who knows what's going to happen this weekend. Might go on Facebook Live then. Who knows, maybe before game 1 at a cookout, we're going to go live talking about Vegas and the Capitals. We don't know. So you guys just have to go over to Facebook and check it out. But Facebook Live was pretty fun. It's pretty much what we already do. Same setup. It's just...
everyone can see you.
Everyone can see us immediately.
Wait, can they see me or no? It's just you.
No, just me. Just that's me. Just the moneymaker. That's all.
Sorry,
they can see.
Everyone. That was my joke. Hold on, real quick. That was my joke the past few games has been, if I come into work tomorrow and I'm clean shaven, you'll know why. But the beard lives on.
The beard lives on. Mine does too. This is
Someone said something the other day, I think during the game, that it's been going, like, what is it, the playoffs have been going for 6 weeks? And I was like, oh, my beard's really not that, like, mine's, I don't grow a great beard. So, like, mine's not that interesting. And I was like, God, it's been 6 weeks since I've shaved, and this is all I have?
This may be the longest beard I've ever had in my entire life, but, like, the goatee area I've been growing since July. The rest has been... has been for the cap. So I might even plug in my razor yesterday. I'm just going to point that out. That's how much faith I had in this team.
All right. So no one's going to give a crap about this. I do a little bit of shaving on the neck with an electric razor and the cheeks.
They don't win the Stanley Cup. It's Coach Dan's fault.
No, I've been doing it the whole time, and nothing. Clearly, it's working out. So maybe I should actually continue doing it.
All right, we'll see. So anyway, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I'm watching hockey through June. I listen to What the Puck and you should too. Actually, tell all your bandwagon friends to listen to What the Puck because there's a whole lot of rock in the red going on now that they're in the Stanley Cup Finals and educate some people. That's what you can do. That's what it's a service we provide.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's what it's all about, guys.
That's right. So now, on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Game one is on Monday, May 28th, and that is in Vegas up against the Golden Knights. That starts at 8 o'clock on NBC. And then game two is on Wednesday, May 30th, and that is, again, up against the Golden Knights, staying in Vegas, 8 o'clock start, and that is on NBC Sports. And then we'll be back doing another show after that. So two games in, you'll get another show, another podcast from Coach Dan and I. And after that, the Caps will be coming back to D.C. So it'll be an interesting time to be a fan here. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. The Capitals are the Eastern Conference champions. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. When the last time anyone said that was 1998. And I was 12 years old. Yeah, that's a little crazy. I could not grow a beard. Actually, technically, I couldn't grow a beard until I was 26. But that's neither here nor there.
I feel like we've gotten off topic a little bit.
Well, maybe. All right. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. The Capitals are going to Vegas to take down the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals and bring Lord Stanley home. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
You know what's interesting, though, if we're going to talk about trophies and let's talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup.
Monday is going to be real interesting. And Brandon's gone.
Coach?
Apparently, yep, I can do myself. Fine. Well, that's not good. Well, this is the part of the show, Brandon, where you can edit it out. Because we're not talking to none, one another. There's words. And he's back.
Where'd you go, man?
I literally haven't moved. See, we should have started earlier, like I said. The last thing I heard was what I said, and then it went to you, and you were like, black screen. Ugh. And then you left the phone call.
I did hang up on you. I will admit that, but I was...
Rude! That's it, we're done. See ya.
Rub some dirt on it, you're fine.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Ah, well. Not paid to be funny.
That's definitely true. Zing.
All right.